Can you say the letter C?
Boom. All right. Up and running. I got a special one for you guys. First time that I'm going to have the man, the myth, the legend, Aaron Blasey himself from the Fall Podcast. First time on my podcast. I've had the pleasure of being on his a couple times. I think at least two or three, if I remember correctly. But regardless, this is the maiden voyage. Could be his first, maybe even his last. He might say, yeah, never again, Clint, the hell with that. One time was enough. We'll see how it goes. But first, let's run through who makes this podcast go. CC Hunt Files, proudly brought to you by Grizzly Coolers. That's code WCB, save you some cash. Farming season, man, running the running that 15, running the Drifter 20, always the grip cups. Just got that big 400 brewed in the other day. Hopefully gonna have that thing chained in the back of my truck. If the tag gods are good to me, I'm gonna have a bull elk tag in my pocket that hopefully is gonna get used. That cooler is gonna come in handy, hopefully come about September 17th, 18th, somewhere in that sweet spot. Again, that's WCB, the code for Grizzly. Black Ovis, man, you guys hear me talk about them. Just posted a photo, and let's see, that was a merino t-shirt, killed my bird in, constantly running their stuff, pants, shirts, I mean, you know, Black Ovis has their own line of stuff, tripods, all kinds of stuff, and then the amount of gear they carry is ridiculous. Everything from arrow wraps, arrows, they got the arrow ID builder for those that don't want to build arrows, let Black Ovis build them for you, all the way to fishing, hunting, I mean, you name it, there's, tree stands, fishing lures, everything in between. Black Ovis, that's WCB10, go save you some money on them. I can't say a whole lot, but they've got some new gear, it's clothing related, coming out. I've got my hands on it right now. I can't give you too much details away, but they'll be launching. It's going to be some new stuff from them, from their exclusive Black Ovis line. You guys won't want to miss it. I'll make sure I post it on my end as far as social goes. With that being said, I'm going to turn the mic over to the man, the myth, I think he killed 47 bucks in 28 states this year. I don't know anyone off the top of my head that I think I could say had probably realistically a better whitetail season. I mean, Mark Drury doesn't count, Terry Drury doesn't count, and Lee and Tiff and that bunch doesn't count. So realistically, sorry to Mark and Lee and Tiff and everybody, but I'm not counting you guys. Dude, what a freaking year you had. First off, I got to congratulate you. Like, wow, what a banger year. Absolutely killed it. Podcast is killing it. Guests have been killing it. But holy damn, did you put some antler on the ground this year.
I appreciate that, man. I don't know how I'm going to back up that intro there. That is, like, impossible to back up. I greatly appreciate you, saying that about me. All of it's a lie.
All I know is if those bucks are all a lie, I want to be a lie too, because the amount of bone that was laying there that you were sitting behind and sitting in front of and touching in the photos. I got a whole slew of photos I'm going to release when this podcast drops, just to kind of show you guys the bucks, the angles. There's not a bad picture in the bunch, but dude, damn, did you do some work this fall. But before we dive right into that, for those of you who don't know Aaron, he's going to direct you into his life, what he does, his podcast. Tell us about yourself. I mean, a lot of people know you. A lot of people don't. You know how that goes. The ones that know you. The ones that don't. But give us a rundown, man. Give the people a little insight into Aaron Blasey and what he's got going on. You're a man of many hats. You got a lot of things going on, and I know me and you. Once we dive down into the mythical big buck mental game deal that we're going to go into with each of these bucks. We'll never come out of that hole. So before we get into that, I need you to at least let people know a little bit about you before they're just like, yeah, I don't know who the hell that guy was. He has a podcast of some sort. And then him and Clint went into this tangent about killing big deer. So that's pretty much all we know.
Yeah. Well, dude, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Like you said, my name's Aaron Blasey. Born and raised in Michigan, central lower peninsula of Michigan. You know, still here. I just built a house here. This is where I'm going to reside forever, man. And
that's awesome, man. Good for you.
Yeah. And, you know, I went to college for television and digital media production. So I was always like into filming hunts and like producing hunts and stuff like that. I knew that's what I wanted to do. And when I got out of college, I got an internship and spent 10 years with Chris and Casey Kiefer being their executive producer and senior producer. And since, you know, right before last fall, basically I moved over with Mark Peterson. He owns Worldwide Trophy Adventures and he's my, you know, my boss. And that's who I chase around every once in a while, not just me filming him, but I do fill in with him every once in a while, but I edit all of his digital content. And then I produce his podcast, the Journey Within podcast. Yep. And that's all about, that's new. You know, we're just dropping week three this week. So as we're recording this, but yeah, man, it's a fun ride. I couldn't imagine myself spending my life any other way than what I do for a living. I mean, I live and breathe hunting and whitetails 365 days a year. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm either looking at footage of, you know, whitetails, or I'm, you know, doing it myself, shooting my bow or filming something, or, you know, something. Yeah. Whitetails cross my mind every day of the year. So
that's awesome.
I centered myself around them, and that was the whole premise of my podcast, man. Like, I wanted to start a podcast. I just wrapped up year four of it, the fall podcast, like you said, and it's all whitetail based. And dude, it's been a hell of a ride. I got to thank guys like, you know, you and for specifically Kurt Geyer, the Working Class. I mean, Kurt's helped me out a ton. You know, just to say a few names, like, but you know, it's been crazy. Here I am. If you would have been like, dude, you know, where you see yourself in year wrapping up year four, would you still be doing it? I'd be like, I don't know what I would have told you, to be honest with you.
Yep.
So yeah, that's kind of me in a nutshell.
No, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, you've been doing a hell of a job. I mean, you know, I've been able to had the pleasure to be on a couple episodes, and I mean, it's been great to watch the content grow, watch, you know, the actual, you know, fan base itself grow. I mean, you know, the fall podcast itself as a whole, everything, from the Instagram page all the way up to just the actual numbers and whatnot. I mean, it's, you know, not that numbers are really anybody's, you know, it's really no one's business as far as actual numbers, right. But just to know that, you know, I know what it's doing for you, where it's going. And I mean, it's all because, you know, you're busting your ass and you're doing it the right way and you're putting out content, and it's not just content, but it's really good content with good guests. And, you know, the hard work pays off and good things happen to good people, man. And I'm stoked to see where it's come from, where it's went, where it's going. And you know, I don't see any end in sight. I mean, you know, like you said, year four, you probably never would have guessed it would be where you're at. Imagine what year six, seven, and eight hold. So yeah, man, I'm stoked for you. You know, you put in a ton of work and a ton of effort and it shows. And, you know, hey, you've pretty much hit the pinnacle. Now you're on the CC Hunt Files podcast. I mean, I don't really know how much better, you know, we baby stepped you. We let you, you know, do a little messing around with Kurt and the WCB. And, you know, I mean, and that's not a bad podcast. I mean, Kurt does an all right job. I mean, you know, I wouldn't say he knows really what he's doing, but he does pretty good for what he does know and whatnot, you know? And I mean, I don't know if I'll ever have him on this series, but I mean, I definitely think if he continues to do well, I might be able to, you know, to maybe have him on or something. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the guy that well, but I know you mentioned him and I have heard his name and whatnot, but no, man, I know. I'll speak for Kurt and I both, you know, yeah, man, we love to see what you're doing. We always love to be part of your podcast. I mean, it's been fun to get to know you and become good friends. And, you know, Kurt and I both talk super highly of you and you know, hey, it's plain and simple. Kurt and I are no frills, no bullshit dudes. If we didn't like you, man, we wouldn't have you on, and we love to have you on, and we love to be a part of what you're doing, and we love when you have us on. So it's been fun to watch that. But yeah, I just wanted to tell you on air, you know, I've told you before, like I'm super stoked and really proud of you and what you got going on, and I know the work you're putting in. I especially know the work you're putting in now, because now I've got my own series, so I definitely can appreciate it anymore, because it's a everybody thinks it's just hit the record button and talk hunting and talk to people, and it's just not. If it was that easy, everybody and their brother would have a thriving podcast, and it's just not quite by any means that simple. From the Instagram page all the way down to writing show descriptions and cover art, and yeah, people don't have a clue, honestly, what really goes into making a good podcast go. It's a hell of a lot more than what meets the eye, and there's very few, you know, that are putting in the time and the energy and the effort and reaping the rewards from it. And you, you know, I'm lucky to, you know, be a part of Kurt and what he's created and been on your show and see what you're doing. And, you know, it's been really cool for me to have those backgrounds, and I can kind of bring that to the table now of what I'm doing. So, you know, definitely, keep up what you're doing, man, because it's you're definitely turning heads with your show, and I'm excited to see where it goes. But with that being said, we got to get down to the nitty gritty. I mean,
oh boy.
I don't know what magical call you're blowing or what scent you're dripping all over your boots or what in the hell kind of lucky rabbit's feet you're carrying around in your pockets, but holy hell, what did you do in 2021? I mean, just start from the beginning, and I'm just going to shut up and just let you go, because I hope we have enough time to run through everything that you put arrows through in the whitetail world this year. I'm just going to let you take over, and everybody just sit back, get your pen and paper out, crack open a Busch Light or whatever you're drinking, pour yourself an old fashioned for all you Lord Chandler and Ross bigger fans. And, dude, you take it from here, because I don't need to say any more. I'm just ready to sit back and enjoy the fruits of your labor of what you accomplished this year. Because I know back at last summer we did a podcast, and you said, you know, you're like, man, I got some big plans. I got some really good hunts. I got, you know, I think I've got some bucks. I think you used the term head turners. I remember you said you had a couple deer, and you know that you really thought were gonna blow up, and definitely some areas that were going to be really good, and some spots you were figuring out. You and I had talked about a few pieces of property that you were really wanting to key in on, and I mean, poof, I don't know for sure what your game plan was, but whatever the hell you did worked. So, hey, from here on out, this is going to turn into the Aaron Blasey Show on the CC Hunt Files. Take her from here, my man. Start from day one, and let's take her up to the end of the year.
Yeah, you know, it was pretty crazy. Like, I went into the year, obviously I was building my own house, so I'm like, you know, I had hunts, and I had an Illinois trip planned, and then I had an Ohio trip planned, and basically I was going to give Illinois probably two trips if I needed it, one early October and then one in the rut if I needed it, and then Ohio was going to come after that, and honestly Michigan was just going to be kind of like, you know, if I could do it, I would do it, just because when I'm home, you know, I need to be building the house. My priorities, like, I'm going to let a fall, not that I wouldn't hunt, but just like I might not sit as many times as I may have wanted to.
Right. Pick and choose your battles.
Coming into July, I was roofing my house, and I looked out back behind my house, and I hung all the property around my house, and in the beans there was like a bachelor group of like $7, and I got the binos out, and this was later in July or mid July, and I could see one had some really good potential, and I really didn't know who he was at the time, but I'm like, I had a good idea, and I figured he was a deer that I called the Super Six, that, and he'll come in later here in the story, but he was a 6 point the year prior, and he was a big burly 6 point.
I'm a fan of a big six.
Well, and he wouldn't have scored great, but he was just like a big body, big Roman nose. Like, I'm like, man, if I get a chance at this deer the year before, I'm like, I'm going to kill him. I saw him quite a bit. Had him at like 70 yards one morning, and then that was about the closest I got to him. And then I did catch word from a neighbor that he made it through the winter. He was hanging out around his house, and I'm like, okay, perfect.
Nice.
So we'll see what happens when he comes in. So fast forward to July, you know, into August, he starts developing. I'm like, shit, it's him. And he's actually grown 8 scoreable now, and he's got like some junk, some weird stuff. I'm like, okay, good. So I dialed him in. I'm like, I'll go after him. And then there was like 2 other bucks that were like right on my radar. Mm-hmm. So started off in Michigan first week of October and got real close to a good 8 that I was trying to kill. 2 nights in a row, I got him to like, the first night he was at like 150. The second night he came to like 65, and I couldn't get him any closer. And then after like October 5th, it seems like here in farm country, early October, if I can't get him in the first 5 days, it's pretty difficult until about the 20th of October.
Yeah.
For about 2 weeks, she shuts right off.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, perfect time to go to Illinois. So packed up, went to Illinois. I spent, you know, I can't remember, like 6 or 7 days hunting there. The rain was hitting hard. I was talking to Kurt about every day and about this deer I was hunting, and I, you know, make a long story short, I had this big deer. I figured he was like in the 160s. He ended up being like low to mid 150s because a guy shot him in gun season. What I have is I have a buddy that has an outfitter there, and he let me hunt one of his farms. He's like, I'm not going to outfit on it until you're done or whatnot. And, you know, maybe I won't even outfit on it. He's like, you know, do with what you please kind of thing. And he gave me some good insight and, you know, where some bucks or what might be making it through. And I went in after a rain. It rained all night, and I didn't hunt that next morning because it's like October 13th, you know, right. Dude. I don't like to hunt October mornings unless I got it's got to be a pretty damn good scenario as far as entry, exit. I hate bumping deer, dude. I hate bumping deer. And I was just bumping deer. I hunted a couple mornings before that, and I was like, I just blowing deer out.
Yeah. So, mornings are just rough. I mean,
they are
outside of the rut. I mean, I don't even, man, I can't even think. Gosh darn! The last time I hunted a morning outside of November, I mean, it's been years. I mean, it's been a long time. Yeah. It makes me cringe.
You really gotta,
thinking about
yes.
it. To be honest with you,
you really gotta have your shit together.
You've got to have some type of side entry or back door entry to where you can get ahead, you know, of a buck. But the problem though is it's not even the buck; it's all the other deer, because it only takes one doe to get tipped off and go bouncing down through the timber, just blowing the freaking place all to hell and back. And then it's like, okay, what's my chances that the buck heard or didn't hear? And now it's just an anxiety. It's just an anxiety filled, pissed off mess that I've now turned my morning into. And it's like, at that point, how much fun are you really having? Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's tough. Mornings are very, very, very hard outside of the rut. And even the rut, I mean, I hate to bump deer even in November, but you got deer on high alert. You got deer running around. I mean, it's not as bad, but I'm with you there, man, 100%.
It's a little more acceptable in the rut.
Yeah, you know? It really is. And I think deer, because it's the rut and there's so much chaos, I don't think it really disrupts or hurts really anything too terribly often. You know, I wouldn't want to go blow the same bunch of deer out every morning for 3 or 4 days straight by any means, but I don't think it's, you know, that detrimental. But no, I'm 100% with you. Like, yeah, I cringe when I even try to put a game plan together in the morning for an early or late season type of deal, because I just know what an anxiety filled panic attack it's going to be walking in just on pins and needles, hoping not to hear the dreaded.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, Illinois, it was hot. It was during the youth season. So the weekend I had to wear orange, and I went into a stand in the evening. I mean, it was like 80, 85 degrees or something. Like, you're just sweating, you know.
Perfect.
I took a change of clothes with me. I walked in on with a certain, you know, shirt on, and took shirt off, put it in my pack, and you know, and it's just like there's no scent control.
You know? Now, are you running? Are you running Merino? Or
I am.
Yeah. Yep. See, I'm big on that too, just to try to help kill the odor. I run a ton of Merino from Black Ovis, trying to just cut down on stench and odor and wick that frickin' moisture away. And there again, I hate even thinking about muggy hot days like that. But sometimes you just gotta.
Yep.
Sometimes you just, if a buck's on a pattern and it's warm and he's still moving, it's like you got to be there. I mean, but, that's cringeworthy too, thinking about walking in and sweating up a storm and changing shirts, and that's a whole nother nightmare in itself, but you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, and changing shirts was whole my deal. It's like I just didn't want to sit there in a sopping wet.
Right.
You know, merino long sleeve, and I had two of them with me. So, you know, and I shouldn't say I'm not big on scent control, but I fall into where you just got to play the wind,
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
you know what I mean. Like, yep. I really don't do much other than that. You know,
yep.
I've got the Scentlock Oz, kind of like the scent crusher stuff.
Right.
Like all, you know,
right.
I use that stuff like in a bag, and I'll just shock my clothes every once in a while. But other than that, man, like. You know, I've killed my biggest deer worrying less about scent than when I really cared about scent.
It just, right.
I don't know. So, anyway, I come into a stand one night on the inside corner of a cornfield, and I had a big, like, 140-inch 8-pointer come out, and he was that, like...
Nice.
Dude, it was, like, last light, and he came out at, like, I think it was, like, 45 or 50 yards, and it just... I didn't feel good about it. And, you know, footage wasn't the greatest. And I'm like, well, let him walk kind of thing. And mm-hmm. then came back the next night and this big deer showed up. Well, I had a picture of this big deer in summer in velvet. And I'm like, man, I really like to figure out where this deer's at. Well, I saw him and we got in like tight to his bedding. Cause I'm almost positive. Like when he got out of his bed, he started coughing, you know, I'm a firm believer in like, when you hear a deer cough, like, situational, but like more than times than not than situations I've been in, when you hear them coughing like that, it's like they just got up kind of like groggy, you know what I mean?
Yep. Clearing their throat, getting everything back to working again.
Yep. So I hear this deer coughing down in the brush and I'm like, man, I look over and all I just see is a wall of tines coming. I'm like, holy shit, there he is. And
that's always a good sign. What's that picket fence walking towards me?
He gave me a look for about, I don't know, 35 seconds and that was it. And didn't get another opportunity at him. Well, I think it was the next day it rained. I didn't hunt. And then the next day it was supposed to rain most of the day. And I was like, you know what? When it did rain, right after the rain stopped, he showed up on a trail cam, on a cell cam, like on a different part of the farm. And I'm like, man, if he does that again, if it rains again, I'm going to get in. And I can't remember if it was the day after or the 2 days after. I think it was 2 days after. I'd have to go back and all this stuff starts like meshing together.
Oh yeah.
And I shot my bow. I was only sighted into 50 yards and I'm like, you know what? I want to shoot my bow. I haven't shot much coming into season. Oh, I mean, I did come into season, but since season happened,
right.
I hadn't shot a lot and I hadn't shot a lot from an elevated position. So my buddy's got like an elevated platform and everything. And I'm like, I'm going to shoot a distance. And I'm like, I want to sight into at least 60 just to have it. Never know. I tubed an arrow. I Robin Hood an arrow at 48 yards that night.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, so like I dialed into 60. I'm like, I'm good. You know, I got really, you know, a lot of confidence built up. And the next day it rained and I'm like, I'm going to get in. So I went in solo mission. Got into this stand, this bottom bean field, and it doesn't look like a lot of beans. There's a lot of, like, there's ridge all around me, and there's timber. And my buddy was like, the deer like to bed on this other side of this bean field. And it's just a long, skinny, kind of like a half moon-shaped bean field. And I get in, and he's like, they like to bed up. So he's, like, kind of telling me where, how to enter and how he liked to enter and whatnot. So I just creep in, and I get in the stand and I'm like waiting for this big deer show up. And I'm like, it's going to happen. And I was going home the next day and I was going to be home for a couple weeks and I was going to come back to Illinois if I needed to. And oh, about an hour, hour and a half goes by, and it's starting to get me like prime time. You know, I haven't seen a deer yet, and all of a sudden up to my right, I hear this deer just coughing and coughing and coughing. I mean, this deer must have coughed 50 or 60 times. And I'm like, the thing would not move. And he's like, I don't know, 60, 70 yards away from me. But it was so thick, the foliage is on and everything. I'm like, God, it's got to be that deer. And because I was like more in his core area, I thought, where I was at. And all of a sudden, I look across on the other side of the bean field, and out comes a doe and two fawns. And I'm like, okay, so these deer are working down the bean field, whatnot. And I kind of draw my attention up towards where the cough was going on. And by this time, the doe and the two fawns have like worked their way way away from me, but down the edge of the bean field. And all of a sudden, I like look over where those doe and two fawns came out of that island. I look up and I just see a wall of tines again. And I'm like, oh my God, there he is. So like I pick my binos up first. And I'm like, okay, it's not him, but it's a stud. And I said, I'm going to shoot this deer for sure. And he's at probably like 70 yards. And he's going to start paralleling me. He's going to kind of like just make like a 90 and start like just walking parallel to me. And I'm like, I look and I got one hole. And I range it. I'm like, God, it's 55 yards. And I'm like, shit, if he comes in there, the way I've been shooting my bow, if he's, I told myself, if he's eating, not a care in the world, doesn't, you know, I said, I have all the confidence where I'm going to shoot him. I get the camera on him. Takes him about 10 minutes, 12 minutes to work through, and finally gets to that hole. And I pull back and
oh,
I range.
Oh, boy, we're bending him back. Here we go.
54 yards, and I put the pin on him, and I touched it off. My first initial thought was, I thought it was low, and the way he bounded off, he had his tail up, and he bounded off to like 55 yards, and stopped and looked back at where I shot him at. And I'm thinking, shit, did I just graze his belly or miss him?
Right.
And all of a sudden, he just disappears. He's behind like an Anamala bush and just disappears. And I thought he ran up the hill. And then I'm like, shit, I missed this deer. And I'm like, why did I shoot that far? You know, and then it's like, what am I doing? So I do an interview, and I look back at the footage. I'm like, God dang, no, that looks good. I'm like, I'm going to get down real quick. I'm going to just kind of snake over there and just look at my arrow. I get over there because I could see the light of knock in the bean field. I get over there. It is covered from the broadhead to the freaking fletch and just bright red. And I'm like, oh, this deer is donezos. But still, I thought myself, because I'm like,
right.
I don't know. I just head games going. I'm like, oh, yeah. I feel like I grazed them, you know.
Until you put your hands on antlers, it's I mean, I totally get what you mean. Like, it's, you're still running every bad scenario through your head of what could potentially have went wrong, even though the arrow is telling you, look, dude, it's time to crack open a 30 rack because you're about to put hands on this buck. Like, it's time.
Yep. Yeah. So I left the arrow there and went back up and got my bow, and then I went back. I was down in a hole. Illinois is, like, you know, probably the armpit of the world for cell phone service.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I got to get up. I got up to where I had some high, you know, good cell service, and I called my buddy Ben, and I'm like, I just smacked a good one, and I think I hit him good, but I said, it's a far shot, and he's like, all right, I'm on my way. So he comes over, and we're just at the truck, and I'm like, you know, let's just give him time. He's like, let me look at that footage. He put his phone up to it, and he filmed this, like, the little LCD screen, you know. And he, like, went in slow-mo. And he's like, AB, he's like, you smoked that deer. I'm like, no way. He goes, look. He goes, look where that – he's like, that's a 12 ring. And then he watched as the deer ran off. And when I lost the track of where the deer was, he's like, he fell right there. I'm like, no way. He goes, he's dead right there. Let's go get him. I'm like, all right, if you feel that confident, let's go. So we get in the Ranger. We buzz back there. And by this time, Casey came and he's filming the recovery. And I pick up the arrow and I'm following the blood and everything. And it, look, curiosity got the best of me. I'm like, forget this. I want to walk right up there. And I'm finding blood. I look back and I like shine my light over there and all I see is white belly. And I'm like, no way. I walk up there. Here's this stud, 145 inch 9-pointer. And I'm like, oh my God, just big, heavy chocolate rack deer. And I'm
beautiful,
like, good Lord. Oh, stud, dude. We take him back to Ben's. I proceeded to get somewhat of adult beverages in me. I mean, I was just pounding beers. Because I'm like, it's October 13th, you know, I came into this year, like, Illinois and Ohio were the two states where my bugaboos, like, I have yet to kill a buck in those states. And all the states that I've ever hunted, they're the two that I haven't killed a buck in yet. So that was my goal this year, you know.
Right.
So we get back and get them skinned out and everything, and I wanted, because it's hot, and I wanted to get them to the processor the next day, first thing, call them in, get them, you know, get them checked in and everything, and just had a hell of a good night. And October 13th, man, and that my Illinois tag was filled.
That's so awesome, man. Yeah, you gotta love it. You kill a mid-October buck like that, man. That's freaking, it's hard to do, number one, and it sure is a little extra sweeter than the rest of them, because that's a tough time. I mean, you got acorns falling, you got crops coming off, you got winter wheat being planted. I mean, there's so much stuff going on in a whitetail's world when it comes to feed. And things changing at that time of the year, it's so hard to pinpoint what a buck's doing and stay ahead of him and try to figure out where he's going to be, where was he, what's he doing now, where's he going to be tomorrow. I mean, it's just when it comes together and you kill a buck in October, especially mid-October like that, when a lot of people are like, oh, they're in a lull, I'm not going to hunt. And it's like, man, I personally don't believe in the law. I think it's just deer are literally on such sporadic patterns, and there's so much change taking place. It's just hard to pinpoint what a buck's going to do. I mean, he's got, in the Midwest, a deer in mid-October has literally 10 different things he could be eating on. And he could change that in an hour. He could change that pattern in 3 days. He could change that pattern in 2 weeks. But literally at any given time, he can go from eating apples to a picked bean field to corn coming off to, oh, the neighbor guy planted winter wheat, it's starting to come up. Acorns, you know, you got berries, you got, there's just so much, you know, you got crab apples, you got, I mean, there's just so much stuff going on. It's just tough. And when it does come together, oh yeah, you definitely got to crack a bunch of adult beverages and have yourself a hell of a good time, because those mid-October deer like that, a big mature buck like that, that does not come easy, and that does not come often. That's for damn sure. I mean, that's not an every year thing to go kill one during what I would consider probably the hardest part of the year to kill a big deer, based off of, like I just said, it's hard to figure out what a big buck is going to do now and then what he's going to do the next day or the next few days, because there's so many variables that you can't control.
Yep. And, you know, it's so hot that time, too, a lot of times. And it's like, in my opinion, deer aren't, they're not, bucks are not wanting to move that far. Nope. You know, so if they're bedding there.
Very tight patterns.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, my buddy, he's hunted that farm. He's personally hunted that farm for a long time. And, you know, and he's been on that thing since he was a kid, basically. And he knows just about every deer out there, it seems like, but he had no idea who that deer was. So, you know, that bean field, it was a bottom bean field, and the thermal change was crazy, because I was down in the bottom. You know, there's timber all around me. It was cooler down in that bottom, and it was on a hot day. And honestly, one of the biggest deciding factors was that rain, that precipitation that stopped, you know, that day. And I got in the tree, and he got up, you know, 45 minutes to an hour before it even decided to crack daylight, you know, or to dark, you know what I mean? And I'm a firm believer in that rain really getting deer up early and getting them moving. So,
no, absolutely. I think you're spot on. And I mean, like you said, there were just certain variables that played in your favor there. You had a good game plan. You were patient. You had your mind made up when it come to that shot. Okay, if this pans out and this pans out, I'm going to take it, and if not, I'm not. I mean, I think you played it absolutely perfect, and hey, it results in a freaking big buck on the wall, and it resulted in probably a hell of a fun night and maybe even a little bit of a groggy hangover the next morning. Ooh, but that's okay.
Spark knocking for sure.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. So, yeah, I came back home from Illinois, and honestly, dude, my season was met. Like, I'm like, everything from now on is just money in the bank. It's like, if whatever happens there, you know. Once you get that first one down of the year, for me anyway, it's just like, okay, now I'm good. Now I can cruise control. I can still work my ass off. I still want to achieve goals, but I'm like, okay, I got that one down, the monkey's off the back. Now let's just go and try some new things.
Well, you just piggybacking off of your phrase, you just said money in the bank. You definitely put more money in the bank. I'm going to let you continue right on down the line to buck number two, because ladies and gentlemen, if you thought we were done there, we are just getting the kitty purring right now.
Yeah. So, you know, the next one is I was going to go down to Ohio on the 25th of October, and I was going to hunt.
Ooh, that's a good time. I love that last week of October.
My favorite time. And, you know, I was going to dedicate about 11 days to Ohio, mm-hmm. and whatever happened, happened. If I didn't kill, I was going to be okay with that. And if I did, then I was going to be okay. You know, and this farm, it was Chris and Casey's lease farm that we've been on for a long time. And kind of how, and I'll get into how I, why the area I went into, but there was a section of, I would say at least 80 acres that those guys never hunted, never went in there. Mm-hmm. I've only been in it once. Casey shot a buck the year prior, and him and I tracked this deer up through these hills. And you live in Ohio, so, you know, these hills I'm talking about are like mini mountains. Like, yep. These things are big woods stuff. Like, this is kind of new to me. Like, I hunt big woods here in Michigan, but it's not like big rolling hills like this.
Right.
So I'm like, man, I'm going to do some hanging hunts. And like, I didn't want to hunt any of their pre-existing stands that they had unless I actually had to. But I wanted to figure this out for myself and do things my way. I was the only one on the farm. And just figured out, I had no idea what deer were here, mm-hmm. nothing. It was just like new territory.
So you were just going to go in, hang and bang, scout and hunt, yep. and just kind of see where the adventure took you.
Yep.
I like it.
So the end of October, I mean, Ohio got hit with a lot of rain.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
It was bad. And, you know, I think it rained like the 24th and the 25th. Like, I was coming down on the 25th and mm-hmm. it rained. I had about a 5-hour drive. It rained. I mean, a cow pissing on a flat rock. It was raining hard the whole time.
Yeah. And we had standing bean fields that were damn near underwater. You know, we were trying to take beans off and then get into corn and finish beans. And it was trying to plant winter wheat. And oh my God. Yeah. I'll never forget that. Yeah. It was an absolute disaster. That end of October, as far as for hunting, farming, it was a freaking mess.
Yep. So I get down there in the evening of the 25th, and I hate the first set of on a farm. Like, if I come mm-hmm. on a trip, I hate the first set being in the morning.
Right.
Like, I like being, you know, going in the daylight, getting your system dialed and stuff like that. So I had a guy, Quentin Brown, he was coming in to film me for the 11 days. It was just going to be him and I. Let's figure it out, you know? And he gets there later that night, and he's like, what's the game plan? I'm like, well, it's supposed to rain all night. I mean, it's still raining. And I said, it's probably going to rain until about, it's like, I think it was supposed to stop around 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, let's get up, have a breakfast. As the rain starts to stop, let's go over to the farm. And I said, my biggest thing is I wanted to find the most concentrated deer sign in a small area.
Yep.
Whatever that might be. And I wanted to see what scrapes were popping up.
Yep.
And after it raining, I knew that anything that was open was going to be open from that morning.
Yep.
Because of the rain, you know how it makes the freaking ground and everything just kind of like a clean slate. So
you're basically going in there looking for the most, the MRI, the most recent information, and you're going to hunt. You're going to hang and hunt the hottest, freshest sign you can find. I like that. I do that a lot myself. I think that's a killer way to put yourself in deer right off the get-go.
Yeah, and it's also wet, so you can kind of sneak around without making a lot of noise.
Yep.
I had a whole bunch of cameras on my back, and I'm like, I'm just going to put out some cell cams and put out some regular cams, like, as I go, as I find, just gearing up for 11 days. You know, you're here for 11 days. I want to be monitoring stuff. So I started looking, found a lot of scrapes. I found, like, I don't know, dude, like 15 to 20 scrapes. Nothing was like really like, man, like, yeah, I need to be here. You know, nothing ever like really punched me in the face.
Right.
Until we go to an area, and this the best scrape that I found at the time was like, all right, I'm going to put a cell cam on it. And I said, we'll probably hunt here tonight. And then it hit me. Quentin's like, he said something, and I'm like, dude, you know what? You just sparked something. I said, back here in this 80 acres. I said, I was in it last year and it was tore up. I remember tracking that deer through there and there was just sign everywhere. I said, there's this bench back there. I want to see what's on it. He's like, all right, let's go. So we kind of snake down and we're kind of like side hilling, like military crest, kind of like not in the bottom. I didn't want to get in the bottom because I felt like all the deer were in the bottom. Like these bottoms were big and thick. So I didn't want any of the wind going on the bottom because I wanted to hang and hunt that night. So we get to this bench, dude, and there's an open scrape, and then another open scrape, and then another one, and then there's a rub, and then there's another rub, and there's another scrape. There's like 8 or 10 open scrapes.
You just got punched in the face. You just got punched in the face. Hard.
Hardcore.
Eyes are black, nose is bleeding, teeth are chipped. Bam!
Yep. And I told Quentin, I'm like, dude, we got to find a tree. And I'm looking, I'm like, right there. Yeah,
right now.
Yep. I said, it is tight. It's going to be tight quarters. But I said, I think it's going to be the best option. I said, I think a lot of these deer are going to be coming out of this bottom tonight. And it was a real iffy wind. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know what? I just need the wind to be true for, you know, just a little bit. And that's it. And hopefully, I didn't know how the thermals were going to work. I'm still learning thermals, dude. It is a freaking mad science game. I need to learn it better. But the thing for me is like, okay, I'll throw a set at it and I'll just see how these thermals work. You know what I mean? And just kind of dive into it.
A lot of times the best way to figure out thermals in an area is to go in and hunt and just see what the hell goes on, because directionals only show you so much and the topo and the terrain of the land only shows you so much. You just got to get in there and watch it all unfold and see what happens, and then for future reference you kind of know, okay, when the directionals are out of the south, this is what it does. When it's out of the north, this, you know, I mean, you can kind of then put for together sure. your own little kind of mad scientist experiment, and then from there, okay, you know, this worked, this didn't, this wind was good, this was not, you know, there's your four plays on the four different directionals, here's what the thermals kind of do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's, you know, this bench or this little hog's back saddle, whatever you want to call it, it was, it wasn't completely in the bottom. It was halfway down a hill, basically, and it was like it leveled out, and it was a triangle. It was basically like a kind of a bigger triangle. It was probably, I keep saying it was like 30 yards by 30 yards. I could shoot across it. I would say it's probably 40 by 40. But on the west side of it was a really steep drop off. The deer couldn't go up or down it. So I sat on which would be the southeast side of it. So, and then to the north of me, so like to the right of my tree, there was a huge like rock, like an Indian rock, you know what I mean? Like those big like rocks in the woods. Down in Ohio, there's a ton of them. Well, the deer couldn't go, they had to go around it.
Right.
They couldn't go over it. They had to go one
awesome
or two
little funnels. So, awesome funnel there. Yep.
I basically placed myself about 30 yards, 20 to 30 yards off that rock. So they had to come, if they came to my right, they had to come within bow range.
Had to come
around
from
my left. If they came from my left, it pinched them down because of that drop off. So I'm like, well,
that's
all
smart.
The deer are going to be coming by me.
That's smart. Natural in the woods funnels right there.
Yep. So then I was like, okay, let's bail out of here real quick and let's go get the stands. I didn't have the stands with me. And I said, let's come back, do a hang and hunt. And so we went and got a quick bite to eat. We bring the stands in, and he's filming me, and I start hanging the stands. And we get up, and finally he gets up, and we get everything situated, and we're like, all right, I'm in. We're good. Let's do it. So the wind is coming from the northwest, and it's hitting me. And as it's coming down behind me, it's a drop off down to the bedding, down to the bottom.
Yep.
Well, what the thermals were doing, the wind's coming out of the northwest, but it would kind of hit me, and it would kind of turn and go more south. So I'm like, man, I think we're going to be good here.
Right.
And we're sitting there and going over scenarios. And I said, Quentin, I said, if there's a deer comes up this way, this is how I'm going to play it. But I said, if he comes up this way, I will shoot him in the chest. Like, I am okay with taking that shot. I have confidence. I'm running a heavier arrow, fixed blade, a big fixed blade. I said, you know, just be ready if that happens, because deer have to come by me to get to this bench. So I'm like, I knew it was going to be tight quarters, but it was kind of the best option.
Right.
He's like, all right, so we're going through all these scenarios, and it was no sooner he goes, oh, dude, buck coming. I'm like, where? And he goes, it's literally right underneath us. This small 8-pointer came up, and, like a year and a half or 2.5 year old 8-pointer came up and like worked the bench like perfectly. I'm like, dude, this is gonna, something's gonna happen. If it's not tonight, it's gonna happen. And I don't know, some time passed or whatnot, and I kind of look down to the bottom behind me, and it kind of gradually goes down to the bottom, and then it starts. There's like a creek bank or a creek, and where the water kind of runs off in between two hills, and it goes up the other side hill. I look down, and this is probably like, I don't know, 70 or 80 yards, and I see a deer. I'm like, Quentin, there's a deer over there. I pick the binos up, and I go, oh, my mother of Jesus, that is a giant. And I just see a cage, dude. And I'm like, first thing that I said to myself in my head is like, that's the biggest typical I've ever seen on the hoof. And I'm like, oh, my God. I said, Quentin, there's a giant buck right there. And he's looks like he's going to go like parallel us or go up to the neighbor's bean field, like up away from us. And Quentin goes, dude, there's another deer. And I'm like, no way. I was like, I can't see another deer. To this day, until I got the footage back in, is when I could, like, when he hit record, he couldn't find the buck very good because it was so much foliage. Mm-hmm. Well, you could, you know, when he moves his rack, you can see it, but I could right. see another deer's legs moving up in front of him. So I don't know if it was another buck or if it was a doe he was with or whatnot, but that deer kept going straight away from us. And for whatever reason, and this deer came to check this bench. He knew what he was doing. This deer turns, and I go, Quentin, he is coming to the base of this tree right now. And I said, get on him. And he goes, I can't find him. I'm like, dude, he's right there. And I finally got him on it. And this deer, he's gaining ground. And he gets to that creek, and Quentin goes, he's coming. He jumped the creek, and he's coming right at us.
Oh, boy.
And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm like just geeking. I got my bow. And I'm like, this is going to happen. He's going to literally brush the base of my tree, the trajectory he's coming. And he gets to about 30 yards and stops, and he's behind some trees. And I go to full draw because once he clears these trees, I'm in the right. wide open.
Right.
So I knew he was within top 10. And I'm like, I got to, you know, whatever way he wants to go, I'm going to kill him. And he's just doing what big bucks do. He's licking his nose and he's looking up the hill.
Oh, yeah.
He's methodical. He is trying to get the wind in his favor. All of a sudden, he turns his head, puts his head down, starts walking right at me. He hits a grunt. He grunts in my face at about 15 yards. And he comes to 11 yards and he stops. And he's looking uphill. I'm above him. He's at 11 yards. And he's looking at the bench. And all of a sudden, he sees the sticks on my tree. Because the sticks I always put on the backside of the tree where I'm thinking the deer probably aren't going to come. Well, where did he come from? The backside of the tree. Mm-hmm. And he sees the sticks, and he looks like halfway up the tree below me, and then he looks right at me. And I said, Quentin, are you good? And he goes, yep. And I put it right below. I hit a little higher than I was hoping, but I put it basically a couple inches lower than the white patch.
Yep.
And I just...
Oh, that's my...
I did the Ross bigger. You are so fucked. Mm-hmm. And I hammered him, and the arrow goes, and my knock buries right through him. He whirls and runs to 50 yards, and I'm getting another arrow. I'm going to throw another one in him because I don't know what's happening.
Oh,
I
yeah, just know for my sure. arrows.
So he sits out there, and he needs to literally take one step, and I can get a shot off at him, and I'm like just waiting. I know he's at 52 yards. I ranged him. I'm like, I'm just going to get another one in him. He sat there and sat there, and all of a sudden he just starts vomiting blood. And just profusely. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's gonna go. And he gets the wide back legs and he starts wobbling and boom, down, done right there. And I freaking start crying. I'm a little schoolgirl and I'm like, I looked at Quentin. I'm like, dude, I have no idea how big he is, but he is a giant. And you know, night number one, this shit doesn't happen to me. Like, I feel like I'm always the guy that's grinding it out yep. all freaking year to, like, get an opportunity.
Yep.
It's crazy, man. And then, you know, we get down and we start walking over the way. We have a little bit of light left, and I walk up on him. I'm like, oh, my Lanta. And I knew he was big. This deer grew on me. And honestly, I'm thinking 175 is a typical 10, you know, maybe 180. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, yeah, he's for sure 160. We'll just put him at that, you know. And again, no cell phone service. So, well, no, I actually FaceTime my wife. I could FaceTime her, and she was geeked for me. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, so we did all of our footage and everything. Went back and got some help. Got him out of there. And went back, took some pictures that night. Drank a ton of beer.
I was gonna say, I bet a couple fucking Busch Lights there or whatever the beer of choice was were cracked that night.
Yeah, I had to play
as they should be.
And I had a guy in camp tape him because I didn't want to tape him, and I know him really well. I've got to know him pretty good. He knows how to tape deer, and he had him at 170 and some change as a typical 10.
Oof.
So he's 26-inch main beams. He had 8-inch G4s. Yeah, dude, he is just a toad.
Yeah, beautiful. Hammer. Beautiful fucking buck.
Yep, that was October 26th, and again, after a rain. It was a rain again, and, you know, I'm just a firm believer in that rain stuff, dude.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Front side and back side of fronts, man. It's hard to beat them. It really is. Gosh dang. Well, in case people were wondering if it's over here, not us hold your beer, ladies and gentlemen, because we're not done yet.
Oh, dude. And after the Illinois deer, I'm like, I'm good, you know. And then I shoot Ohio deer, this giant, my second booner, gross booner.
I remember when you sent me the picture of the Ohio buck, and I'd already talked to you about your Illinois buck, and I'm like, holy hell, dude. I'm like, you're what are you doing? Like, what's, because meanwhile, at this point, I've killed nothing. I'm having the hardest, you know, I'm on like day 942 of Wyoming/Utah, and I haven't even drawn my bow back yet. Like, I'm freaking, you know, and I'm like, man, I'm glad to see someone's freaking killing it out there, because I'm not killing shit.
Well, dude, I started getting a big head, you know, and razzing my buddies, because, you know, they would have done the same thing to me.
Oh, just absolutely. Like you have to.
Yeah. And I'm like, as I'm coming home, I'm talking to some of my really good buddies and on the phone as I'm driving home. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm going to come home and just, yeah, I'm just going to hang out, and you know, I'm gonna hunt a little bit. I'm gonna try to shoot my third buck. You know, I've never had a third buck year or a three buck year. And I said, how many deer you guys got down there? Like, oh, you know, fuck off, like, kind of thing. You know, just a little bit of rat.
Go pound salt, asshole.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I get home. I stayed down in Ohio a couple days because one of my partners, Helix Broadheads, is down there, right next to where I was hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And about a 30-minute drive. So I went and hung out with them. And one of my good buddies is the marketing manager for them. So I hung out with him and his family for a night. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to go home and just get back to work life and you know, just keep building my house. So I get back home. And honestly, I talked about this on a previous podcast, but in farm country here around my house, I like to just scout in the mornings a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like, I'll do a gas and glass all morning until I can find deer. So I'd take my daughter to school, and then on my way back, I would just glass. I'd drive around the sections and glass and see where the rut's at, see what bucks are, you know, moving. Well, it was November 1st. I took my daughter to school, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take a loop. I got coffee, got the, you know, binos, and I'm just like, I'm going to take a loop, see what's going on. And the Super 6 deer that I had, you know, in July and August and stuff like that, he had the last picture I had on him was, I believe it was October 8th, and it was a night picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't see him for damn near a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know where this deer was, had no idea if he made it through or whatnot. And I come up on my neighbor's field. I'm on the main road, and I see him pinned down with a doe. And I'm like, holy shit. I said, I got to stand 200 yards from this deer. I'm going to go get in. This is November 1st. It's cold. The wind is blowing, whipping. I'm like, and he's got a satellite buck with him. I'm like, man, I gotta stand on a cut bean field. I think it was cut at that time. And I said, man, you know, who knows? I'll sit all day. You know, like, we'll see. It's like, you know, it's like 9:30 in the morning. I'll sit all day. I go get my stuff. I get in the stand, and I sit there for like 3 hours, And all of a sudden, the little buck and the doe start coming out of the timber. And I'm like, oh, here we go. They're going to come right by me. And the little buck and the doe came right underneath me, and he never showed. I'm like, what the hell? Maybe they had another doe with them. I don't know.
Right, right.
I'm like, shit, it didn't work out. I sat till like noon, 1 o'clock, somewhere in there. And I'm like, well, I'm going to get down. Got down. I had to go do some work. Next morning, kind of carbon copy. I'm like, I'm going to drive around after I took my daughter to school. And I saw some bucks out in the rut. It's really starting to kick now. Like, I'm seeing bucks on does, like, get locked down. And didn't see him, though. And fast forward to the next day, November 3rd. Again, I take my daughter to school. And I'm talking to my buddy Tyler. And I'm doing another gassing glass. And I'm talking to him on the phone. And he hears me put the skids on in the truck. And he goes, dude, what just happened?
Uh-oh.
I'm like, he's right there. He's right there, and he's on my property. He goes, no way. And I said, I'll call you back. I'm going to go kill this deer. And I hung up. And I run to the house and get my bow. I get my arrows. I get my gear on. And I'm like, I'm going. So he is on the edge of a standing cornfield, okay, in this little green field. It's just like an overgrown CRP field.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to stand a couple hundred yards away from him. And as I'm walking out there, like, I'm coming on, like, the north edge of the – I got to make a loop around to get to where he is. And he's chasing off all these other bucks. There's, like, two or three other bucks in there. And when I left him, I'm like, shit, I'm going to go get in that stand. And I'm like, you know what? No, I'm not. I'm going to go kill him on the ground. Why wouldn't I just go in this corner and kill him? And so – I get up to this corner of this cornfield, and it's where it butts up to my timber. And I got this big, like, grassy, like, topsoil knoll in front of me, and I'm just kind of, like, getting my heart rate down. I just basically ran through this field to get where I was.
Right.
I'm like, okay, just relax.
Yeah,
like,
calm everything
you
down.
You got to make this shit happen. No sooner I look over, I hear a twig snap coming out of the timber. Here's, like, this 120-inch 8-pointer, and I'm like, bird in the hand, I'm going to shoot you, and then I'm going to go shoot this other deer. And he has no idea I'm there. He's at like 11 yards. I duck down in the corn, and I go to full draw as he comes behind that knoll, and the knoll's taller than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, he's going to be out 10 yards.
Yeah.
This is a done deal. He doesn't come out. I'm like, what the hell? And I kind of creep over and look, and he's walking straight away from me. And I'm like, damn it. He's at like 60 yards, and I'm like, okay. Back to the task at hand here. He's kind of like working away from me.
Yeah.
Get in the corn and kind of like get around this. I want to see if this deer's here. And this is where the details get a little shady because I'm like, I get like just worked right up. So I work around. I'm two rows in this corn. I'm just sitting here and I can't see this deer. I can't see his doe. I look over and I see some deer. I see some does, and I see like a buck chasing a doe by me. Like, what the hell? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, like, there's no deer around me. I'm like, what the hell? Where'd all these deer go? You know, like, there was just, like, a frenzy around here. And I look over across from me. It's about 60 yards of CRP is. And I see two coyotes working the edge of this beans field bastards. Across from me. And I'm like, you son of a bitch. I said, there's no deer around me, so I might as well try to shoot one of these now. So I start, like, kissing, see if this coyote will come over. One was kind of, you know, he was kind of leaving. And then the other one was kind of leaving, so I'm like, all right. So I'm like, man, I really need to, like, get farther down this corn to see if this buck, the Super 6 buck, is still down there. Or is doe. Maybe they bedded down. I can't see them. Maybe they're right up against the corn, but I can't see them because I'm in the corn.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, like, lose track of the coyotes, and I'm, like, looking down, trying to, like, inch out there without being seen.
You've got so much shit going on right now.
Oh,
jeebity Christmas.
So much shit.
It is absolute and plain words fucking chaos right now in your life.
It is. And I'm looking down to my south, and all of a sudden, something out of the north catches my eye. And I look over, and this coyote is at, like, 6 yards and cannot see me because I'm in the corner. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm kind of doing one of those, like, get the fuck out of here. Like leave. You know what I mean? Because I feel like this deer's still down there. And I look down, and all of a sudden I see his doe. And, like, his doe's out in the field. And I know it's his doe. She's got a roughed up back. And, you know, she just looks like she was rode hard, put away wet kind of deal.
Right,
you know what I mean? Just like she's been run all night. And I can't see him, though. And I'm only two rows into the corner off the CRP, and no sooner I, like, look at her and something catches the corner of my eye behind her,
mm-hmm.
and here he comes, just blowing corn down like a bulldozer coming through the...
Your fucking heart rate's got to be 900 over 500 right now.
Dude, he comes through my row, and he's at, like, probably 60 yards or so, and he can't see me, and he steps out of the corn. And all I can see is when I'm kneeling down, I'm looking through all the corn stalks, all I can see is his head and his antlers. So I know some of his, like, his ass is, like, basically touching the corn, so he's not very far off the corn.
Right.
I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just walk right at him in this corn. I can see his head. Just keep an eye on his eyes. Like, yep. When he looks away, I'm just going to keep making my move.
Yep.
Yep. And it's muddy, so he can't hear me or nothing. It's got good enough wind where I can just inch through. I get to 25 yards.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, okay, here we go, you know? And this is where shit, like, really goes haywire. Because, you know, my whole thing is, like, for some reason, decisions start getting skewed. I start, like, trying to rush shit. And I'm thinking to myself, like, why are you rushing? It's, like, 10 o'clock in the morning. Like, you know, you're fine. You've got all day as long as these deer stay here. He's not going to leave her. She's not going to leave. So she works out of the corn, more onto the CRP, and he kind of inches out there. I'm like, all right, this is my time. I pull back, and I've got a Garmin range or a range finding sight, and I'm trying to range, and I can't range through the corn stalks. So I'm trying to stand up a little bit and range, and I'm like, and I let down, and I remember just, like, looking and trying to judge a yardage because I can double punch and get fixed pins. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, he's like, definitely within top pin. So I double punch. I go back. I go to full draw, and then, like, he kind of looks, and I'm like, okay, it's not the time. Not the time. And so I go to full draw again, and he is facing right at me, okay? And I'm like, I just did this shot last week. I said, I'm good here. You know, this is not a care in the world. I shoot, and the freaking arrow whizzes right by him, right by his side. He doesn't even flinch, doesn't even move. He is so zoned on this doe, and I miss it. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Holy shit.
So, yeah. So I'm like, knock another arrow, and I'm like, calm the fuck down. Like, you need to relax. Like, God's giving you another shot at this deer. Don't blow on it.
Yeah. For sure.
And at this point, the doe has kind of worked away from me a little bit. He's worked away. And I range him again. He's at 54 yards. Ironically, it's the same as my Illinois deer. And I'm like, well, here goes nothing. And I was confident, you know, and I'm like, I was actually, after that miss, I was, like, less nervous, to be honest with you. Yep. Like, you know, like, it's just, now it's more like grit. Like, get this done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've been here, do it. Put the pin on him. I touch her loose, and I just see it go right through him. And well, I mean, not go through the knock. I saw the knock disappear.
Yep.
And he, like, kind of jumps up and kind of runs off a little bit, about 30 yards. She doesn't really know what happened, but she, you know, they heard something. He turns, and I can see my whole arrow sticking out his backside, like out of the opposite side.
Yep.
And I'm like, shit, it's low in its back. Like, the exit is. And I'm trying to find the entry, but he's in tall grass and I can't see. Like, what the hell? So then he starts humping up his back, you know, and I'm like, shit, I got guts. Like, I you know, I shot him in the guts. I'm like, damn it. Not a good thing. Now he's at, like, he's too far to shoot him now.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sitting there. He sat there forever and I just watched him. I couldn't do anything. I wanted to do something. I just couldn't do anything. Like, I didn't know what to do. Like, I felt like if I walked out there, like, I'm out in the corn, he'd probably freak out or the doe would freak out. Long story even longer, he finally, like, starts walking away from me. He gets in the neighbor's bean field. And I watch this deer walk 500-600 yards. And I got a good idea where the arrow went in. And it looked center mass. But he was quartering at me more than I thought.
Yeah.
And the exit is low and back, like right in front of his back leg.
Yep.
And he loses the arrow. Arrow pops out of him. I didn't know where it popped out of him at. And I just see him walk, and he would walk through that bean field, and he'd just stop, and he'd just look around, and then he'd keep walking, just a slow walk. He never ran, okay? He gets to the edge of the neighbors, and I see him bed down. Like, okay, I'm in for a long day. And I've got a good rapport with my neighbor, and he lets me track. It seems like every deer I shoot over there, it goes on him, and he's like, dude, you don't have to call me. Just go do it. But I'm like, I need to call you. And, you know, I call him. He's like, yeah, go right ahead. And so then I call Kurt, and I'm like, dude, this is where I hit this deer. Like, how long should I give him? He's like, go on to Deer Track or Drury's Deer Cast and look at. So I like downloaded that, and I looked all the videos. Mark Drury's like, you know, wait 24 hours, you know, 12 to 24 hours. But he's like, I'd wait 24 hours. And I'm like, well, I'm going to give him 12 and I'm going to go in. So I watched this deer for the whole day in my truck. I had till 3 o'clock. I shot him at 10:30 in the morning on November 3rd. I watched him till 3 o'clock. I had to look at my daughter from school. And then I had a buddy lined up with a dog to come out and track with a dog that night. And then another buddy and my dad were going to come out and we're going to go after this deer. So we went in at, man, I can't remember what time it was, but it was like 12 hours after. And that deer laid there all day that I could see. But when I left him at 3, I didn't get to watch him until, you know, I went over there. My wife was working. She works, you know, 12-hour shifts as a nurse. So I couldn't. My mother-in-law got home, and I was like, can you watch Peyton for a little bit? I'm going to go over and, like, find this deer and just, like, look and see from a distance. I just want to keep eyes on him.
Right.
She's like, yeah. So she watched her for a little while, and I got to watch him for another hour or two or whatnot. And I couldn't see him anymore, though. Like, he got up, and then he went into the timber, so I couldn't see him. Shit. So then I had to leave him again until we powwowed and got ready. So we go in that night, 12 hours. We go to where he bedded down. Can't find a lot of blood where he bedded down. The dog did decent, but it was not a ton of blood because it was back, you know, his guts. And
right.
So we tracked him for a couple hours. I mean, we tracked him for a while. I can't remember how long it was, but it was like midnight. I think my dad and my buddy were like, we gotta work tomorrow. And then my buddy with the dog, he's like, I'm good to go if you're good. And I'm like, I'll look for him all night. And so he and the dog kind of go another way, and I go another way. And I'm just kind of like combing, looking for blood anywhere in this timber. And we get separated. Him and I get separated. And he calls me. And this is like, I want to say this is like 2 o'clock in the morning. And he calls me like, dude, I got your deer right here. And I'm like, no way. He goes, but he's still alive. And I'm like, no, okay, I'll be right there. Yeah, dude. And I'm like, okay, I'll be right there. So we go up there, and it's him. You know, he's at like 80 yards bedded there. And I'm just like, okay, I know where he's at. Let's get out of here. You know, he'll maybe hopefully die in his bed, basically, in the next morning. It's supposed to be colder than shit that night. So I go home. I get home a little after 2 or 3 o'clock. I honestly can't remember. It was late, though. And my wife and my dad and I were going to go grid search this timber. It was like a 5-acre patch of timber. It was on the neighbors. I first had to go get permission from that other neighbor to walk his timber. And I'm like, I didn't want to do it because it was early morning. But I'm like, I got to do it. So the timber I can watch from the house. And I get up in the morning having coffee. My wife and I are sitting there. And I see those two damn coyotes going into that timber. Oh. And it's only 5 acres. And I'm like, great, here we go. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to freaking find him. They're going to kick him up. And they're going to, you know, I'm not going to see him. Or they're going to eat him or whatever. I'm like, I got to go get permission from this neighbor. Luckily, I pull into the guy's driveway. I'd never met the guy before. And he's pulling out of his driveway. And I'm like, thank God he's not like just waking up or something. And I tell him who I am. And he's like, yeah, go right ahead. Go back there. Do what you got to do. And, you know, good luck. If you need any help, let me know. And I'm like, perfect. So my dad and I and my daughter, my wife get into that timber. We grid search it. We come up on his bed, blood in the bed. He's not there. And this timber is pretty open. So we didn't see him at all. Didn't kick any deer up. Or actually, we did kick a doe up, I believe. But we knew it was a doe. But grid searched it really well. He wasn't in there. I was fully convinced that he wasn't in there. So the way we were grid searching it was towards the direction back to where I shot him. Okay. So we were coming in from the west, and I shot him to the east of where we were. So there's blood in the bed. He wasn't there. And so I'm like, well, let's go check this other timber. And then let's go check this other timber. So we went and checked this other 5-acre patch of timber that was next to this hay field that was kind of adjoining. He wasn't in there. So I'm like, okay, let's go back to the timber where I first initially saw him bed, where I walked him in, where mm-hmm. Where I saw him walk in after I shot him. I'm like, I'm going to go through that timber. So my wife's on the outside. My dad's on one side of me. She's on like the edge to see if I kick any deer coming out. I come up on blood, wet blood. And I'm like, what? Like, this is not right. It's like fresh blood. And I'm like, no way. This is like, did this happen last night or did this mm-hmm. happen right now? So I'm telling my dad and I'm like, dude, I don't know what's going on. And I walk up a little bit farther, more blood. And I'm like, okay, this deer's alive and he's in front of me right now. And I'm kicking him up. No sooner than I say that, my phone pings. I get a cell cam video or a cell cam photo of this deer underneath one of my tree stands. And he's literally 200 yards from us right now. And I told my dad, I said, get over here, because he was on the edge of the field and I didn't want him to see him. I said, that deer is right there right now. And my wife looks at me and goes, I'm going to the house, because where this deer was going was towards the house where I'm building. She's like, I'm going to go to the house. I'm going to sit in the driveway and make sure this deer doesn't come out. And she just takes off and goes. And she's like running, like makes a big loop. I married up. She's like, she made a big loop and she's like, I'm making sure this deer does not go across the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. So my dad and I had to go back west to get the truck. And then I said, I'm going to get my bow. I'm going to go. I know what timber he's in. It's another little patch of timber. It's on my timber now. He's in my timber. I'm like, I'm going to go and sit in this stand all day. And he's going to come by me. Either he's going to die in there or he's going to come by me. And so my dad gets me, drops me off. I walk through the green field where I shot him. And I get to the edge and I can't get in the stand because it's going to be way too loud and it's too small of timber and I didn't want to bust him. I told my dad, I said, go to my house where I'm building and sit there. I said, if he comes out, let me know. Because now I'm where my timber meets the corn, where I initially started the day before. Okay, and I said, if this deer wants to get back to this corn where I shot him, he's going to have to come by me. So I sit down and I'm just kind of waiting. I'm just waiting, dude. I'm like, this is going to happen. Like, I'm going to get a shot at this deer. Also, my dad's calling me. And he's like, the deer's coming right at your house right now. He just came out of the timber. What do you want me to do? And I said, get in my truck and cut him off. Do not let him go across that road, because that is more permission I'd have to get. And who knows how long that deer would, you know, keep running. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I come out and I get in the corn and I look and this deer is walking. He's not running. He's walking. And I see my dad come out of the driveway and go down the dirt road. And he's like, my dad like kind of cuts him off and the deer goes into the corn. I'm like, son of a bitch. And it's a 20-acre standing cornfield.
Oh, man.
And now I'm like, how am I going to get this deer out of here? And I'm like, I'm like, he's just going to have to go in there and die. I'm feeling terrible at this moment. Like, this deer's suffering because of me. I'm freaking beating myself up. So my dad's sitting on the road, and I'm walking the edge of the corn. So I'm walking the dirt field right on the edge, and I'm walking real slow. And I'm looking, and I could see where he walked into the corn. I'm kind of looking through the corn. I'm like, maybe he's in there, you know? And I can see in there a little ways, and I could see, like, an open area about 10, 12 rows in there,
mm-hmm.
but it's hard to see, you know, mm-hmm. you can just see where like the coons like knock down corn.
Right.
So I keep walking. My dad picks me up and I'm like, well, he's like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I'm going to sit here and watch this corn all day. Like, I don't want this deer to come out and I want to make sure I know where he's at if he does. And so I did have to work. So I worked most of the day, but I kind of worked to where I could see out of the house and see where this corn, or, you know, manor this corn basically. And he goes, "What are you going to do about it?" I said, "I'm going to wait till tomorrow morning, and I'm going to go in there and I'm going to walk every row until I find him." And I get up the next morning before it gets daylight and I start driving the roads. And I'm like, my thought was, if he's going to come out of that corn, maybe he would come out when it's dark, when he knew it was safe. That's just how I think. Probably not, but I don't know. So I'm like driving the road, and it's starting to crack daylight. Meanwhile, the night before, one of my good friends, he calls me. He's like, "Hey, if you're going to go look for that deer in the morning, I'm not working tomorrow. I'm going to hunt in the morning, and I'll come and help you." I'm like, "Okay, cool." So I'm driving the roads, waiting for him to get his hunt done. And I'm walking the edge of the corn and just trying to find blood if he came out anywhere. And I didn't find any blood. So finally, my buddy calls me. He's like, "All right, I'm going to come over." He's like, I've got like an hour. I'm like, "Okay, I'll take it." I grab my bow. He comes with me. And I said, honestly, I'm going to walk in where I saw him walk in and then see if I can track him with blood and see if he spurted out somewhere. He goes about 30 yards down from me. And I kind of walk in, and we're just walking row to row. And we're just, you know, my plan was to stick in this corn all day. I was going to try to find this deer all day. I go in there 12 rows, and I walk up on him dead right there.
He was dead in a wedge. Holy shit.
He walked right where he walked in. He walked to his death. So when I walked by the corn, he watched me walk by him, and he probably laid down right there. And that was the last bit. And I found him 48 hours after I shot him. 2 days to the...
Holy shit.
It was 10:30, then 2 days later after I shot him, I found him. He was right there. And, dude, I lost it. Lost it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Holy, but what a way to end your year, though. Gee, many freaking Christmas. You had to work for that one.
I did. And that was the thing is, like, I mean, I was fully planned on trying to find him that day. If I didn't, I was going to try to find him the next day and go as long as I had to. Because I felt terrible, dude. Us as hunters, we owe that to that.
Yeah,
to that animal. I mean, you know,
we've all
I mean?
Been there, and if you haven't been there, you haven't hunted long enough yet.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I mean, so you know, we've all been there. I mean, it's a terrible feeling, but you just got to do what you did, keep after it, and keep going. And you know, I mean, perseverance and patience and just the will to continue on pays off. I mean, that's a. You know, a lot of people would have gave up and just chalked that one up. We'll find him in shed season type of bullshit. And, you know, thankfully you persevered through all that. And then 48 hours later there, yeah, man, that's freaking crazy. Holy shit. I got goosebumps listening to that. Jesus.
Yeah, it's nuts. He was a brute, dude. He was like 250 pounds on the hoof. I think he's going to be 4 years old. I actually just sent his teeth in to get aged, and I should be getting those back anytime, but I think he'll probably be four. He scored right at 120. Solid deer, big, heavy mass. But for Michigan and my area, dude, that's a hell of a deer.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And yeah, so it was crazy, man.
That's freaking nuts, dude. What a year. Oh, my God. That is freaking insane, man. I can't tell you, like, how freaking stoked I was on the year you had. And just, you know, I mean, to put in the work and put the plans into action and then be able to execute, make shots, you know, and that last buck, you got to persevere through the ups and the downs. And I mean, it just, hey, good things happen to good people. And then, and those that are willing to pay their dues, man, sooner or later, that shit all pays off. And you just, poof. I don't know how you ever topped 2021, my man, but holy shit. Poof, it's going to be tough. I hope I see you do it, but man, that's going to be a tall order.
I know it, dude, and that's the thing. Like, you know, if I can get an opportunity at one buck a year, I'm super stoked. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And you get three, and it's like, you know, now I'm just gearing up for a heavy fall. Like, you know, not going on a dry spell for like 5 years. Like, you know, not killing a deer, and it's like, you know, you can't think of it that way, but it's like that's kind of like I'm a realist in a lot of ways. It's like, you know, I get like good things come to people or good people, like you said, but. Dude, like, I don't know why it happened to me. I really don't. I wish I did know. I mean, I only sat 13 times last year, dude, mm-hmm. and I killed three good bucks. And 11 of those 13 sits I saw a buck that I'd shoot, you know, and that was
just awesome, man.
It was an efficient year. Like it was usually I'm the guy that's grinding it out and hunting a lot. And this is more like, I think I might be getting a little more smarter and confident in my ability to adapt to situations, but also like, you know, I only hunted 13 times, but it was like an efficient 13 times. I went in at the right times, did the right things,
absolutely,
you know, and it paid off.
Absolutely, man. All three of those bucks is a test to your craft and you working at your craft and perfecting your skill. And yeah, I couldn't be more freaking happy for you, man. I'm stoked to get this episode out, show you guys all the pictures. I got a ton of really good photos from Aaron and oh, dude. Yeah. What a freaking year, dude. What a freaking year.
Appreciate it, dude. Yeah,
what a freaking year, man. That. I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing that. I mean, putting us right in the driver's seat with the storytelling and putting us right there in your pocket. I mean, fuck, man. I'm stoked for everybody to tune in and listen to this one, man. This will be from here probably like 2 weeks out, but oh my gosh, dude. Yeah, what a year. I mean, I knew bits and pieces, but I never wanted to get full details because I wanted to hear it on the podcast and that'd be like the first time. And oh, dude, that's what a freaking year, man. Stoked for you, dude. Proud of you. Pumped
Thanks,
for
dude.
You.
Appreciate it.
It's it's gonna be hard in 2022 for you to top 21, but I know you'll I know you'll give it hell.
I'm gonna give her the old college try and I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm gonna travel this year. It might be just a Michigan year and honestly I've you know, for the last like probably 5 to 6 to 7 years, I haven't really put a ton of time in Michigan. I've been traveling, hunting so much and working. That you kind of lose the pulse on, like I do anyway, on like what's going on in Michigan, like really investing time in it.
Yeah.
And I really want to like push myself to like kill consistent bucks here in Michigan. And that's the goal this year, man, is to
awesome.
Kill a good one again here in Michigan and keep the consistency rolling and really figure them out and get on them, man. So that's the game plan for right now.
That's awesome, man. I know you'll do it, dude. And if you don't do it, you'll go down swinging and give them hell doing it.
I will.
Where can people find all your stuff, man? Give us Instagram and Facebook and just give us the rundown on where people can follow you and find your stuff, man. You put out a hell of a lot of good content, and I know a lot of people enjoy it. So give us the old breakdown.
Yeah, so go to Instagram. It's the Fall Podcast, or I have a personal Instagram, Aaron Blasey. But I do a lot of my stuff just on the Fall Podcast Instagram. I got a Facebook as well. My podcast drops every Tuesday morning. You can download it anywhere you download your podcast. And also, I'm trying to build up my YouTube channel right now, so I'm putting like some older hunts up there. But these two of the three hunts that we talked about tonight, the Ohio and Illinois buck, those hunts were filmed, and they're going to be – I'm going to put those up in June.
Awesome. Awesome, man.
Be ready for those. Go to the Fall Podcast YouTube channel and subscribe if you guys would. And hopefully you guys like the content. So,
hell yeah, man.
That's where you find me, man.
That's awesome, man. Well, dude, I can't thank you enough for having me on in the past and for coming on this one. And I'm sure this will not be the last that the CC Hunt Files earbuds hear from you. That's for damn
sure,
appreciate man.
Appreciate it, dude. Thank you so much.
Oh, I had a hell of a good time, dude. It's always fun to share in on good buddy's success, and then especially whenever you got a season like that, man. Gee, many Christmas, it just buck after buck after buck. Freaking, oh, man. I've been looking forward to this one, man. I'm glad we got to link up, and like I said, it won't. It'll be the first, but not the last. That's for sure, my man.
Appreciate it, Clint. Thank you very much, man.
Absolutely. You all know what to do. Don't fucking settle. Get ready. We got some really good episodes coming down the pipe. This one will launch here, probably in like a week or so. So by the time you're listening to this, it'll already have been, you know, probably a week or two prior to this. Got some really good guests, some really good episodes coming up. Got another well-known podcaster that you're going to probably be excited about hearing on coming in the next week or two after this one airs with Aaron. So stay tuned. I will catch you guys later. Thanks again.
Can you say the letter C? CNC Hunt Files.